about it.
All right. So if I make it past noon, I'm all right.
Yes. I've gone past noon, I think, every week for the last 2 months.
So they might be happy with me if I go under, right?
Yes. Yeah. If you go under, they'll love you.
I didn't hear any amens right there, though. No, too late. Too late now. That's all right. Well, amen. First, let me say to Emmanuel, thank you, folks, very much. Y'all do support us as missionaries here in America, and we do not take that for granted. We thank you for those that give to missions, that sacrifice. God said this about missions giving, that in his nostrils it is a sweet-smelling savor. And that means every time that you give to missions, God does something like this. Ah, that smells good. And he is pleased with that, and it is a blessing to us. Thank you so much. We are greatly encouraged when you folks support us. Several of you have come up to us, letting us know that you pray for us either daily or often. And we thank you for that. We cannot do the work that we do without the people of God helping us, praying for us, and giving towards our needs. We appreciate that. We don't take it for granted. We do stay very busy because of that. We believe it's only right. A laborer ought to work for his hire. Amen. And we're on the road about 50 weeks a year. And so the Lord has been very gracious to us and allowing us to stay busy, and we're thankful for that. But quickly, my wife Debbie, honey, if you would stand up or wave at folks, or there you go. She doesn't like standing very much. And our grandson Caleb, it is a unique story. We do not have any children, but God gave us grandchildren. Amen. If you have never had any kids, that is a very tough thing to not have children. And I found this, it was even harder not having grandkids. And so I see y'all are sitting on the edge of your seat. How is this working out? Well, come later and I'll tell you, amen. And is that how you do it, preacher? Amen. No, we, his dad pastors in Quincy, Illinois. And they were the first church when we started Ambassador Baptist Ministries 10 years ago. They were the first church that we helped. Obviously, Caleb was only 9 years old then. And they just, through the years, he and his siblings, he has four siblings, began to call me Pawpaw and her, my wife, Grandma Debbie. And we were very excited about that. We wanted grandkids, and so God provided us some. Amen. And so he's getting to travel with us. Just finished his first year of Bible college. And so he's traveling with us for a few weeks during the summer. He is eligible, ladies, to those that might be interested. We're taking applications. It is still a few years before that can be fulfilled, but amen. So, all right, amen. Let's get down to business. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. It is so good to be here again, to be with the church here, with Brother Caleb and his family. Thank you, preacher, for allowing us to come again. It is a blessing to us to be able to come. I'm from the Houston area, from Pasadena, Texas. I never thought in my wildest dreams I'd be up in New York preaching. If you knew my background, you'd say amen to that. I grew up in church. My dad was not saved, but my mom, I have three older sisters. Now, y'all should have said all right there. Yeah, it is hard growing up with three older sisters. Amen. But my mom had us in church all the all my life that I can remember, and I remember when my dad got saved, but I thank God that my mom raised us down at the house of God. But as a 12-year-old young man sitting in the church pew, I began to rebel against everything that I'd been taught and against my parents, and began to just live an ungodly lifestyle. And parents, I'd encourage you, please stay involved in your kids' lives. Don't let them push you out of their life. Because it was through that I was able to begin to do many of the things that I did. But I thank God that my mama and daddy had raised me the way that they did, so that on September the 14th, 1981, as a 23-year-old young man, the Holy Spirit of God showed up at my house on a Monday morning. Amen. Because of how I'd been taught, because of how I'd been raised, I knew exactly what was going on. I knew that it was the Holy Spirit of God convicting me that I was lost and headed for hell. I knew I needed to get saved. I knew how to get saved. And I thank God I knew where my daddy was that morning. He was, it was 6:30 in the morning. He was sitting at his counter reading his Bible and praying before he went to work. And I got to call my daddy that morning and ask him to pray with me. I wanted to get saved. And I'm so glad that God gave me the faith and the grace to humble myself before him and to get saved that morning. And God called me to preach shortly after I got saved. And again, I never thought I'd be traveling this country and preaching, but I have to be honest, it is my honor to be able to travel and preach the Word of God and to make good friends like your pastor, and sure do love him and thank the Lord for him. Thank the Lord for Brother Legault and the training that you folks have given him so that he can do the work that he's doing. Thank you, Mom, for raising him down to the house of God. Amen. I don't know about you, but I sure love the Lord. Amen. I am so glad I'm saved. Amen. All right, take your Bibles. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Let's stand if you're able in honor of reading the Word of God. Very familiar verses for us, I believe, especially in the times that we're in. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I'm going to start reading in verse 1. If you have that, say amen. Wave at me. Do something. Let me know you got it. You got it? Your Bible will say this: I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. I want to just preach for a little while on this. We're here. We're in these times. Now what do we do? Father, please take the preaching this morning. Take your word. God, help me this morning. I need you. Holy Spirit of God, would you come and please fill me. Direct the thoughts of my mind and my speech. I want to be an encouragement and a help. I want to be a blessing this morning. God, please, if there is somebody here that's not saved, Holy Spirit of God, would you convict their heart and help them to see their need of a Savior and give them that measure of faith to come this morning and to get saved. And then, Holy Spirit, would you fill the hearers this morning that they might have hearing ears and an understanding heart. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. As we look at the passage of Scripture that we are in, that's our text this morning, I want us to notice something that the Bible is clear. It said, for the time will come, and I believe this, folks. We are in this time. We are in what the Holy Spirit of God had entitled back in chapter 3, perilous times, the time when the rapture is soon to take place. I don't know about you, but I am ready to get out of here. Amen. This thing is a mess. The Bible's clear that evil men and seducers are going to wax worse. I believe this, that you know, because we are so near to the rapture, that some of the seeds of the tribulation period has already been planted. And we are seeing, I believe, some of the fruit of those seeds. I believe that, I don't believe we're going through the tribulation period. If you're of the mind that, you know, you're going to hang on till the middle of the tribulation period, help yourself. I'm getting out of here early, amen. I don't want to hang around for any of it. And so, when you stop and think on all of those things, the Bible is clear that there is going to be a time when, you know, the things of, it says that the Lord's going to send strong delusion, that they'd believe a lie. And I think those things are already coming about. I mean, you stop and think, in the times that we're in now, they believe that men can have babies. Folks, you now I'm a retarded Texan. Y'all say amen right there. Said that a little bit too loud right there. But I don't believe a man can have a baby. Now, see, that's just, that is ignorant. And the word means unlearned there, amen? It is an impossibility. Say amen right there. But there are people that really believe that today. They believe that it'd be a good thing if a boy has some traits that he might be a little effeminate, we ought to take and give him a dress and do surgery on him. And you know, if a high school boy feels a little girlish, he can go in the girls' locker room. You cannot be that dumb. They are telling us things like that today. And there are many people that believe that kind of stuff's okay. And so I'm just saying that, you know, we're in some times, folks, that I don't know about you, but as a Christian, they are very offensive to me. Man, our government, I never thought I would see our government in such open corruption. It just amazes me. I have to be honest, as a little boy growing up, and I was born in the late 50s and grew up in the 60s and 70s. And can I say, man, back then the FBI was a hero. You know, we still think of Elliot Ness and, amen, busting up the steals and all that. Y'all say amen right there, I'm going to get concerned, amen. I thought the CIA was good guys, you know. And I have to be honest with you, I don't trust them now. They spy on Americans. It's already been proven that They are coming into churches and spying on churches. When President Obama was in office, he said fundamentalist Christians were equated with the Islamic terrorist. Now, has any of y'all ever strapped a bomb on yourself, run into a crowd trying to blow folks up?
Nope.
See, we're doing just the opposite. We're trying to save folks, amen? And listen, that is offensive to me that a president of our nation would equate us with Islamic terrorists. But we're in these times. We're in perilous times. And let's be honest, because of the way that our nation was started, it was founded upon this book and upon the values of this book. Amen. And let's be honest, we've not been perfect about it. Amen. But we have held to these values and principles that we were founded upon. So the thing is, we're not seeing the persecution that many Christians around this world are seeing because of the way our nation was started and the laws that we have in place. But understand, today there are many Christians that, whether it's their churches being burned down, whether it's they're being beheaded, taken hostage, and so on, tortured, we're not seeing that, but I'm telling you, it's happening all over this world. And we need to understand that when he said here, look back in chapter 4, when he said, for the time will come, we're here. But I want you to understand, this is not a prophetic pronouncement. Let me explain what I'm saying. He is not saying that's the way it is and you can't change it. That's not what he's saying. In fact, if you look at it, he goes on to say in verse 4, they turn away their ears from the truth and so on. Now in verse 5, though, he gives us how to make sure we avoid being part of this crowd. He gives us four simple things there. By the way, can I say this? The evangelical liberal crowd of the day is part of the crowd. Amen. They don't endure sound doctrine. They have a Bible of the Month club. Who knows what Bible their pastor's going to read from? Amen. You listen to me. The Christian life is a life of separated things unto sanctification. And the liberal crowd of the day, and I'm talking about some saved folks, are saying, well, now it's okay. Immorality's okay. It's okay if you drink alcohol. Folks, that stuff's not right. Say amen right there. I'll get worried about you. Amen. And so understand, though we are in this time, he is not making a prophetic pronouncement. He is saying this is a warning. This is a warning so you do not get caught up with them. That's what he's saying. And in verse 5, he gives us how to make sure we don't get caught up with that crowd. He gives us four things. Look at it. He says, first, but watch now in all things. In other words, we are to take heed to the doctrine. We're to continue in that. That's what the Bible teaches us. We are to make sure that we're watchful and watching for that liberalism to creep in. Hey, it's going to creep in. It says that there were false prophets among you and that they're going to continue to be. And so don't think that somehow this church is exempt from that. There's going to be folks that will creep in here and they'll begin to espouse liberal thinking. They'll begin to challenge the preacher. They'll begin to whisper in your ear. Well, you know, I don't know if that's really... Does he have to preach it so hard? I mean, that preaching's so unkind. You better be careful of that crowd. Hey, you're just as ungodly as I am, and you need the preaching just like I do. Say amen. You need your pastor to get up and skin your hide. Amen. Because listen, we look at this book and we say we believe it, but there's a lot of things we scoff at in this book. Amen. When it comes to separated living, and man, we want to, I mean, nowadays they're getting rid of the choir. They're getting them a drum set, getting them a praise team, doing a dish rag twist up. Amen. I still got to move. Amen. Y'all, that's just a joke. Y'all breathe easy. Amen. Yeah, they're bringing in what they call contemporary Christian music. Pardon me, the music of God is sacred. It's separated unto Him. No different than trying to take a beer and put a label on it that says Christian and make it Christian beer. Don't happen. You're not going to take God's music and put the world's twist on it and somehow make it godly music. Not going to happen. But that's what they're trying to do. And so we're to watch. We're to watch and make sure that that is not creeping into our church. Secondly, he says this, to endure hardness, or endure affliction, excuse me. I understand, I believe we're not going to see as much of the afflictions in our nations as other places, but you understand, as the rapture gets closer, the Biden administration has presently said they intentionally have gone after the largest Christian university in our nation. Now, what they call Christian university is not necessarily what we would call a Christian university, but can I say this? He's doing it on purpose. And if he'll go after them, we're next. We're next. And they might as well be honest. If you're a conservative Christian in this age, you are considered a nut and an extremist. And I'm not trying to be political. I'm not a Trump fan, nor a Biden fan. I'm a Jesus fan. Amen. Amen. And if he'll run for office, I'll vote for him in a second. The if Trump ends up running, you know, sometimes you got to vote for Fruit Loops. Amen. Y'all don't look at me like that. That man's a Fruit Loop. Amen. I like his policies, but anyway, amen. Y'all breathe easy. Good night, y'all. Man, they all of a sudden they froze up, preacher. I felt it, man. Now look, so we're in these times. He said, endure affliction. So as persecution creeps into our nation, you listen. I said this in Sunday school. Some of you, if you get mad at what I'm saying, talk to the preacher. He let me come, okay? But some of you Sunday morning folks, that's the only time you come. Can I say you're not going to make it? Let me prove it. During COVID, we lost droves of people over a virus. And I'm not saying it wasn't real. It was. But I'm not going to quit coming to church because somebody gets sick. And I'm not going to quit coming to church by threat of I might get sick. I've been sick before. I'll probably be sick again. And I'm going to go ahead and come down the house of God anyway. What better place to be when you're sick? Amen. Man, all this stuff. Well, wear a mask. You know, first is 10 days. Everybody just, if you stay at home for 10 days, we'll flatten the curve. Y'all remember that? Then it was the mask. Get you a mask. Now, come on. How many banks want you wearing a mask when you come in? Then one mask wasn't enough. Get you another mask. By the way, you can get a shot with the mask. Wait a minute. That's not enough. Get another shot. And I promise if you get the shot, you won't get sick. Well, wait. You won't get as sick as bad. Get you a third mask and a third shot. And then they tell us, well, Walmart can stay open, liquor store can stay open, but church, you've got to close. Did you not see something fishy in all of that? And so I'm just saying, as we get closer to the rapture, you better hang on. There's going to be some afflictions. And some of you, you need to get closer to the Lord so that you can be strong in the Lord and the power of His mind.
Amen.
Amen. And learn to be here Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. You're welcome.
Amen.
That's good preaching right there.
Amen.
But then he says this. Brother, don't encourage me now. Don't egg me on that. Look at verse 5. He said, do the work of an evangelist. Another way that we can make sure that we're not part of that crowd is this, being a soul winner.
Amen.
And that's why I'm here this week. Preacher has asked me to come specifically so that he can, what's he trying to do? Your pastor has enough sense to see the time we're in. And he has read his Bible enough. He knows the things that are going to help his people to be able to get through this time. But what's one of the main things he gives us here? To do the work of an evangelist. To be a soul winner. And so what I'm trying to get across is this. Pastor has asked me to come specifically to help you to get through these times that we're in. Y'all say amen right there. Thank God for a pastor that has enough sense to listen to what the Bible says and to try to provide for your help during these times. Amen. Now, and so I want to do this morning. I want to just look at a few quick things about doing the work of evangelists. Take your Bibles, go to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Once you get there, say amen.
Amen.
I still hear some pages rattling, so I'm going to give you a second. Hebrews chapter 1. Y'all got it? All right, that's not where I want you. But if I'd have told you Philemon, pastor would still be looking. He don't know where Philemon is. Uh-huh, see? Go to the book of Philemon. It's right there in Hebrews chapter 1. And look at verse 6. All right? What? Doesn't y'all find that easier? Amen. Look at verse 6. That the communication of thy faith may become effectual. You see that? That the communicating of thy faith may become effectual. Let me say several things. I get started. First this, there's an expectation by God that we are communicating our faith. Hey, how many of y'all are saved? Wave at me. You're saved. All right. I'm looking. Y'all wait. Keep your hand up waving at me. I'm looking for the lost crowd. Amen. All right. Now look, if you're saved, God has an expectation for you to communicate your faith. What do you mean by that, Brother Scott? Well, I simply mean this. The Bible calls it this. It's the gospel. It's simply the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. How that you and I realized, hey, you've sinned against a holy God.
Right.
By the way, nobody ever made you sin. You did it on your own. Nobody ever stuck a gun to your head and say, hey, you're going to tell a lie. Now, Pastor, help me out. How old were you when your mom taught you how to tell a lie? She never did that. In fact, if she caught you lying, she's fixing to snatch you out your laundry. Amen. Huh? But I know something about you. You lie and you're pretty good at it. And so are y'all. Amen. And me too. Yeah, hey, we've sinned against the holy God. You and I have done, hey, if you stop and think about it like this, and you, listen, God's in love with us, amen? He made us, He created us, He's in love with us, wants us to spend all of eternity with Him. But you and I have done this to God. Leave me alone. We've slapped him in the face and rejected him, saying, this is my life. I'm going to live it the way I want to. No. No, God gave you the breath of life. And by the way, he wrote this book so you could have the best out of life. He wants you to have an abundant life. And when you sinned against a holy God, what you did was tell God, I don't want what you want, I want what I want. Not only our faith consists of admitting we're sinners, but it's acknowledging to God, I've sinned against you and I deserve to go to hell. See, the Bible says clearly, the wages of sin is death. That death is a death in hell. That's what I deserve this morning. That's what you deserve. Because we've sinned against a holy God. But understand this. Because of his love for us, he said this, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You ever thought about this? Hey, to the person, let me explain it like this. I like Christmas. How many of y'all like Christmas? You know why I like it? I like it because my wife gets me stuff and it don't cost me nothing. Yeah. But there's something about a gift. To the person getting it, it's absolutely free. To the person giving it, they have to pay the price. See, God said, I got a gift for you. It's eternal life in heaven. And his son paid the price for that gift. It's free to you and I, completely bought and paid for. And he said this, if you just ask me, if you just be willing to receive it, I'll give it to you freely. See, if this morning you're not saved, that's the gospel in a nutshell. Realize you've sinned against God. You deserve hell. But that God in his mercy sent his son to die in our place, that we might have forgiveness of sin. And he said, if you just call on him, he promised he'd forgive your sin and he'd save you. So understand, God has an expectation of you and I declaring that in this world. Not only that, but I want you to see again in this verse, understand this, he has a desire for us to be effective in communicating the gospel. He said this, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual. So God's expectation is this, I want you to be effective at communicating. Why? Because God wants folks saved. Right. Amen? And so he wants us to be effective at it. So there's a few verses that I thought of. First, back in Mark chapter 4, you remember the parable of the sower? And how on the last seed that was sown on good ground. And it said some produced 30, some 60, some 100-fold. See, that's what he means by becoming. You might just be right now a 30-fold soul winner. God wants you to be a 100-fold soul winner. Amen. Amen. Turn to John chapter 15. Hold your place here now because you're liable to lose Philemon, preacher. Turn to John chapter 15 and the first few verses. Look at what he says. I'm true vine, my father's the husband. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth what? More fruit. So we've gone from this, bearing fruit, to more fruit. See, he wants to, in fact, he tells us in the next verse, the way he's going to purge you is this. You get cleaned up through the word. The cleaner you are, the more you are usable by God. You're not going to stay dirty with sin and God use you in a great way. Amen. See, he wants to clean you up as you get more in the book and the book gets more in you. Then it's going to clean you up and God can use you. As a vessel of honor. But he doesn't just leave it at more fruit. Look down to verse 5. I'm the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth what? Now we've gone from bearing fruit to more fruit to much fruit. 30-fold, 60, 100. Now look at verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear fruit. Is that what your Bible says? Huh? What does it say? Much fruit. So can I say it like this? His expectation is that we produce fruit, and the more the better. Amen or not? And that's what he's saying. He wants us to be effective in communicating our faith. All right? Now, and so that's why I use there that the communication of thy faith may become effectual. All right? May become. So I want to give us three things and I'll be done. Y'all should have said amen right there. Y'all are slow. All right, so how? How can we learn to be effective? Number one, through preparation. Through preparation. If you would do this, go to 1 Peter 3:15. You probably know the verse. It says this, but sanctify the Lord God in your heart and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. See, the Bible says we ought to be ready always. And let me illustrate it if I could. In talking about preparation, I'm talking about you and I working at being a soul winner. Now, let me kind of illustrate things or make the point, if I could, in this fact. And most families want their children to grow up and to have a good career and make good money, not be freeloaders on the government. Y'all say amen right there. They want them to be good citizens and model parents and that kind of thing. And so one of the things we do, and I'm not talking about the crowd that's called to the ministry, but I'm talking about the crowd that maybe is going to be a carpenter, an electrician, or a lawyer. Don't let your kids be a lawyer. Amen. But they're going to have a professional career. What do we do if they're going to do that? Man, we send them off to college or university or some technical program for training. And we do that for this reason. We want them to be good at their career, and we want them to make what? Who said that? Yeah, that's exactly what we're doing. We want them to make money. Amen? And so we don't mind them going 2 years, 4 years, six, eight, doesn't matter, whatever it's going to take to educate them so that they can get to the point that they have a good life and a good career, amen? And so you stop and think about this. We'll send them off to university for 4 or 6 years, and yet they never learn how to win souls. You tell me which pays more and which is going to last for eternity. When we could take maybe just a few months and learn how to be an effective soul winner. You tell me what you would rather have your child be, an effective soul winner or a good engineer. They can be both, by the way. Amen. But see, we ought to make sure that they understand they ought to be an effective soul winner. So it takes this. It takes preparation. Working at being a soul winner, learning how to be a soul winner. Again, I said it during Sunday school. I'm going to say it again. That's why pastors asked me to come, to help train folks how to be effective soul winners, how to take biblical principles and help to overcome fear and to understand how can I be effective in soul winning. How can I become, I may be over here, man, can I say most folks, if 30's over there, most folks are, well, let me go. I mean, honest, most folks in here don't even talk to people. You don't carry tracts with you. You don't have any intention. We ought to say, oh me, right there. And see, the truth is, though, we could take some time and prepare to be a soul winner, to learn how to be a soul winner. To just like taking classes and other things. And taking class. In fact, hold your place here in Philemon. Go back to Acts chapter 20. Paul gives us his plan here on how he trained his workers. And they reached the world for Christ. We saw that in Sunday school. They accomplished it. It says this, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you, taught you publicly, and from house to house. He had a threefold training. Number one, he sat down with the scriptures and showed them how to win souls to Christ, how to take the Bible, go through the scriptures, and lead someone to Christ. We'll do that tonight. We'll sit down front here, and I'll take the Bible and just go through a few scriptures, show you how to lead somebody to Christ. Secondly, it said this, not only showed you, but taught you publicly. So they had classroom sessions, public sessions, on biblical and practical principles of soul winning. Things like this, fellas, before you go soul winning, put on foo-foo juice. Amen. Fellas have this tendency towards being odorific. Y'all know what I mean. Amen. That's just a practical principle. Amen. Brush your teeth. Amen. And then there's biblical principles that we'll teach, like sinners are, all sinners are like green beans. I mean, y'all remember that? All right. We'll go over that. You say, what do you mean? You come to the classes, we'll find out. But learn how. Practice. Y'all have seen that commercial on TV about the life insurance? And it has the three P's. How many of y'all have seen that? All right. See, now, I know I'm wicked. I watch TV, so. There's three P's in soul winning training. It's practice, practice, practice. Amen. Preparation. Number two is this. It's prayer. How are we going to be an effective soul? Man, it's prayer. Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power if the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me. Can I say you're not being an effective soul winner without prayer? Why? Because you and I cannot do it in the flesh. We must have the help of God. And if we're going to have the help of God, we're going to have to pray and get the Holy Spirit's power to be able to be an effective witness for Christ. You know what? Prayer has almost become foreign in churches today. And I'm talking about in Christians' individual lives. I remember when I was growing up, we had prayer meeting on Wednesday night. We didn't have Bible study. We had prayer meeting. I mean, we'd get together. I know folks would come down the altar. Brother Ansley was my pastor. He'd call on several men to pray. And we'd spend, I don't know, 30 or 40 minutes easily at the altars praying, going through different stuff. And then once we got through praying, then he'd preach maybe a 15, 20 minute message. But the emphasis was this. The emphasis was on prayer. We've lost that today. Folks, many of you didn't even pray this morning before you came down to the house of God. You thought, well, I'll get all my spiritual energy from the church service this morning. No, no, no. You know what you get from church service? You know what you get from preaching? You get regurgitation. See, all I'm giving you is what God gave me. And I'm just regurgitating. You can't live on that. Amen. You need stuff fresh from the Lord yourself. Amen. And so we've got to get back to prayer, folks. We cannot do the work. We cannot be strong in the Lord and the power of His might without prayer. And then let me close with this. It's participation. How are we going to be effective? Through preparation, through prayer, and through participation. See, if you don't participate, you're not effective. Let's be honest. There are some folks that are, I don't know, they have worked harder at it. Maybe they've been doing it longer. To me, soul winning is so easy. I know yesterday that young girl came walking by, and I was sitting on my tailgate, not on my truck, and I never moved. She's walking down this sidewalk. I said, "How you doing, ma'am? Can I give you a Bible?" She said, "Sure." I said, "Hey, what's your name?" She said, "Giselle." I said, "My name's Scott." And I took the tract out of the Bible. I handed it to her. I said, "We're from Emmanuel Baptist Church. Like to give you an invitation. We'd love to have you come." I said, "You go to church anywhere?" She said, "No." I said, "Well, let me ask you this. You thought much about spiritual things, about eternity?" And she said, "Yeah, a little bit." I said, "You know, the Bible teaches this, that when a person dies, they're either going to heaven or hell. Given those two choices, Giselle, where do you want to go when you die?" She didn't think very long. She said, "I want to go to heaven." I said, "That makes sense." I said, "Look, would you let my wife take her Bible and show you some scriptures that are specific to how you can go to heaven?" She said, "Yeah." Can I say it's just that easy? Sometimes it's just the way that we approach people, the questions we ask them, just to make it simple. Can I be honest with you? I believe with all my heart. See, God put an empty place down here that only He can fill. And everybody's looking. Some people are hardened. I get it. I was hardened for years against it. I remember the bus director came by my apartment one day. My parents had sicked him on me. I knew who he was. I was sick, though. I had the flu, and I was self-medicating. Y'all know what I mean? I was laying in the floor, and he knocked on my door. It's cold and rainy outside. I answered the door, and it's Ken Garrett. I thought in my mind, "What are you doing here?" And I was as rude to Ken as I could be. I let him know I didn't want him there. I was ugly to him. Didn't curse him or anything, but I was unkind to him. Now, I don't recommend this as a soul-winning technique, amen? But this is what he did. He got to point. I was not going to talk to him. And he looked me in my God-given eyeball, and he said, "Scott," in my mind, I said, "Strike one." I hated being called Scotty. He said, "Scotty," he said, "don't let your ignorance send you to hell." And he turned around and walked off. I thought, "I'm going to kick that man down them stairs." I did. I thought that. And I believe it was the Lord that kept me from it. I really do, because I was mad enough. I was going to kick him, Brother John. Just, "Who do you think you are calling me ignorant?" And it was a couple of years later, though, that, see, God began working in my heart. When he showed up my apartment, my old heart was tender. And see, I don't know about you. I won't be in on getting fellas like Kevin say. Amen. See, I don't know about y'all, but it kind of seems like it's worth it. Amen. Amen. I want to be in on folks getting saved. That little Giselle, 17 years old. Brother James, where's Brother James? Is he not in here? Okay, he's out doing other duties. Out there street preaching, and man walks by, a 30-year-old man. He begins to talk to him. Say, "God, just open a door for him." Why? Because God's interested in folks getting saved.
Amen.
And it's easy. If we just learn how to open the door and help them to see, man, God cares about you.
Amen.
And then just take them through some simple scriptures, how they can be saved. I'm talking about participation. See, let me close. How many tracts you got in your pocket right now? Not asking for an answer. It's a rhetorical question. But do you mean to talk to people? See, if you did, you got tracts in your pocket right now. When's the last time you actually talked to somebody? I mean, stepped out of the box of handing out a tract and said, "Sir, let me give you an invitation to church. Listen, I'm from Emmanuel Baptist, and I'd like to give you an invitation. But this, do you go to, my name's Scott, by the way. What's your name?
Caleb.
Hey, it's good to meet you. Do you go to church anywhere, Caleb?
No.
Good. Listen, you're the kind of person we're looking for. We'd love to have you be our guest sometime. Think maybe you'd do that sometime?
I'll think about it.
Okay, my wife and I'd love to have you as our guest. Hey, listen, have you ever thought about eternal things?
A little.
I mean, you're going to die one day. Don't do that now. But you're going to die one day. I told Giselle that yesterday. Don't do it now. Amen. See, if we talk to people and just be real with them. But the problem is we don't participate. We don't participate. If we're going to be effective, three things: preparation, prayer, and participation. I'm pleading with you, please come this week. Learn how to be an effective soul winner for Christ. Let's stand to our feet, heads bowed and eyes closed. Nobody looking around, please. I know earlier I went through the gospel of how somebody can be saved, how that they can realize that they've sinned against a holy God, that they deserve to go to hell, but that Christ has saved them. Can I ask you this morning? Is there anybody here that at first you'd say this, "Preacher, I know I'm saved. I know if I died right now, heaven's my home. I've called on Christ. I've been born again." If that's your testimony, would you slip your hand up? "Preacher, I'm saved, no doubt about it." Hands all over the auditorium. Thank you. You can put them down. Is there anybody, be honest with God this morning, you'd say this, "Preacher, I'm not sure about that. I'm just unsure. Preacher, I know this. I don't want to go to hell. I'd like to be saved. Preacher, would you pray for me?" Is there anybody like that? You'd be honest this morning. You just slip your hand up so I can see it. "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. Please pray for me." Anybody like that this morning? Please slip your hand up way high. I want to be able to pray for you. All right. I don't see any hands this morning. So let me ask you this. Don't you want to be effective as a soul winner? Whether it's with lost family, whether it's lost co-workers, lost neighbors, many that you don't even know. Don't you want to be effective for Christ? If that's you, would you slip your hand up? "Preacher, I want to be an effective soul winner." Thank you. And again, I'm going to ask you, please, wouldn't you come this week? Let me do this. If God spoke to your heart, maybe something that was said in the preaching, maybe something totally different, but God spoke to your heart this morning, would you slip your hand up? "God spoke to me this morning," hands all over the house. I'd encourage you to do this. Please come to an old-fashioned altar and talk to God. Don't do this. Don't not talk back to Him. Don't let that be a one-sided conversation. Please come to the altar. Please come talk with Him this morning. If He's talked to you, don't you be rude to God and not talk to Him. You come on. Many coming this morning. You step out and come on. God spoke to your heart. Come on. Come on. Come on. Folks, we need revival in our nation in a desperate way. We're not going to have revival without the people of God being great soul winners. We need you this week. Some of you, I'd ask you to come right now and to commit. Preacher, I'm going to do my best. I'm going to be here every service that starting tonight for the soul winning training. Preacher, I'm coming. Why don't you come and make that kind of commitment to the Lord right now? Come on. Don't you want to be effective for Him? I'm telling you, you can overcome that fear. You can overcome those things that are hindering you from being the soul winner you want to be. Come and just tell the Lord, Lord, you being my helper, I'm going to be here. Folks still praying, still time for you to come.